In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain!
Way to go, Stan.
All right, thank you. And down goes that ship, down below the weighty matters of logic and good arguments from scripture and science as we sink the theory of evolution. I'm Stan Hudson.
And I'm John Kurlinski, welcome you to another episode of
Sink the Beagle,
where we take the lighthearted approach, the high road, the funny road, against the serious issues of evolution and creation. We are creationists unapologetically.
Which is funny in and of itself. No, well, okay.
We are the... No. Today we're going to continue on, moving down the road, so to speak.
Yes.
We'd like to look at perspectives and the perspective mm-hmm. recently of the design movements or the idea of creation movements, just to mm-hmm. give viewers a little bit of update on where things mm-hmm. kind of started in the recent past with the ideas of evolution and creation. It's growing steam. It's being debated in the courts. It's being debated in the land.
Where even on radio with nutheads like us.
Yes, and that's the reason why we're here, because mm-hmm. it's a popular enough movement that even allows a voice for people like us.
Yep.
And why and where did it start? You know, science thought it won its battle after the Scopes trial and mm-hmm. stuff, but really that was not the end of
the
debate.
That was not the end.
And creationists realized that to not look like buffoons, they're going to have to come up with better arguments mm-hmm. than just the Bible said so, which makes them look a little bit more like ignorant people.
Yeah, just a reminder, there are materialism evolutionists, and that is those who believe that there is no God, and Darwin was right, and everything that is in the universe is explainable through natural law only. That's without God.
Yeah.
There are creationists who believe in the biblical account, literal biblical account, and, you know, 6 days and so forth. That's like us. Now, there are others who believe something in the middle, and that is that natural law is heavily involved here, but maybe God was involved, and certainly
nuances.
There's a designer. You know, kind of, there's this middle area.
And in all the fields, there's slight nuances in mm-hmm. each one.
So, yes. Yeah. That's just
we
sort of
it
an
to
overview.
Three, though.
That
yeah.
makes it easy. What we're talking about now is a movement of fairly recent development in America, American culture, where there is a group that's come under the umbrella of what we call intelligent design. And we thought today we would just kind of give a little bit of a, you know, an overview or review of where that thinking came from, who the big thinkers were, the shakers in this movement, and so on.
And even though it's not necessarily intelligent design mm-hmm. was the field in which he dealt in, mm-hmm. One of the early ones and one of the early pioneers in the movement was a George McCready Price. He's mm-hmm. actually the one who, in the sense, in the area of geology, though he was not a licensed geologist from the state of California, something mm-hmm. to that level, he basically saved in some ways the concept of catastrophism and
right.
creation in an area just steeped with doubt and disbelief
right.
in those things.
Well, what he did was he tried to argue, and he was a Bible-believing creationist, so he was in that one group I talked about, like John and I are in that group as well, believe in a literal account. But what he did do was he tried to argue strictly from science, that science proved a short age and disproved evolution and so forth. And he wrote extensively. He was a public speaker. He went around and for decades influenced America. Well, one of the people that he influenced was a man by the name of Henry Morris.
And Henry Morris is a founder of the ministries ICR, and, mm-hmm. and the branch off of that was
Institute.
Answers in Genesis and others.
Institute of Creation Research.
Yes, and many modern
San Diego.
Scientists.
Mm-hmm.
Many modern scientists that have been trying to continue on the fight for creationism from mm-hmm. using scientific, good scientific evidence.
That's sort of the modern creationist movement, but in all of this, it kind of set a stage. But there was a man who came along, and his name is Michael Denton. And Michael Denton is not in the creationist short age mold, but he simply came at the subject doubting what he saw about evolution.
Yeah, he would study the evidences and the arguments and said, you know, life is just too complex. And so he began what we'd consider the modern ID movement. Mm-hmm. The idea that the Earth is a kind of living organism with some sort of feedback systems. That favor the existence of conditions suitable for life. He doesn't. He does not favor so much the embracing all the creationist ideas.
Right.
Referencing the Bible, but just looking at what he observed. There's just way too much complexity out there. Way too much interaction between so many organisms that life just couldn't happen, as stated by evolution, and argued that there's some sort of greater intelligence out there.
Other people like Barrow and Tipler and other authors wrote about what appeared to be a remarkably lucky situation of life on Earth and in the cosmos. And they didn't want to reference or give it to a creator God as some kind of cosmic force or something did. Or maybe there was a little bit of a deistic concept of God. But these kind of things.
And so Denton came down then with the argument. He wrote his book, Evolution, A Theory in Crisis. His first copy of the book, a great book that came out, points out the general theory of biological evolution was not well supported by the data after his reviewing of the evidences.
Right.
And he basically concluded that neither the two axioms, the two fundamental axioms of Darwin's macroevolutionary theory, because he defined macro and micro.
Right.
And he's saying, in other words, macroevolution does not occur. That's the idea of from dinosaurs to birds or some kind of...
Right, rocks to warm puppies.
Yes. The concept of the continuity of the nature, the continuum from primeval cell to what we have today, just isn't the way it is found. And so his book said it's a theory in crisis. And he's modified his statements, but the person he mostly influenced in moving down the history is we come down that he influenced a person who became sort of the lightning rod of the last decade, which really launches the ID movement, and that was Philip Johnson, Philip E. Johnson, University of California, Berkeley, law professor.
Law professor at UC Berkeley, and he was a trainer of lawyers, and so his area of expertise was logic. How do you get from one point to another in terms of your logical process? And he was intrigued by Denton's book from the logic standpoint, and he said, you know, evolutionary theory ought to be looked at from the strict point of logic. And he started to write extensively. He wrote Darwin on Trial, a tremendous book, and other books. And basically from a lawyer's perspective, he went after what he thought was accepted as blind truth by the science community and said, wait a minute, let's take a look at the facts and let's see if they line up with the popular theory.
And your explanation of the theory based on those things. And it was that there were such leaps of faith and leaps of logic through it all that he began to attract a lot more popular attention.
He was beginning to suggest, John, that there was some kind of, it wasn't logic based, it wasn't science based, there was some kind of underlying philosophy behind it all. And to me, that was his great contribution.
Yes,
there's something else going on
here
other than science.
He said behind it all is philosophical materialism. What's really behind it is a commitment to naturalism. That
you could say atheism.
Or
even.
Atheism, yes. He says naturalism, he means not supernaturalism.
Right.
There are no gods, there are no cosmic forces, or as Richard Lewontin once said, there is no divine, we can't allow a divine foot in the door. No witches, warlocks, spooks, and goblins in our stories. And what really meant is a commitment to that philosophical naturalism.
Yeah, and he is not a short-age creationist.
No.
And yet his arguments are excellent. His logic is really unarguable, and he stirred up the community quite a bit. Now, he had some students attending his classes at UC Berkeley.
And these are science guys
intrigued to what he was saying.
Yeah, William Dembski, Stephen Meyer, Paul Nelson, and Jonathan Wells, just the four of them. And they all began to start from the scientific perspectives, analyzing the arguments, analyzing the data, and they began to write books and to publish, became published and well noted, and started creating a big stir.
And these are not short age creationists. These generally do not believe in, although they're people that may see some validity in some of the things the Bible says, they are not to be confused with short age creationists.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, their arguments were outstanding. Stephen Meyer, of course, was here in Whitworth College here in Spokane. We're recording in Spokane, Washington, and he was a professor there, not now, but and he also helped found this movement. William Dembski, of course, did as well, and he is probably especially successful in his theory of intelligent design was coming through a proposal of a method of identifying design through what is he calls specified complexity. And he proposed an explanatory filter to identify three types of causes: natural law, chance, and design. And really, it's kind of a developed math. What are the chances for certain things to happen? And as he worked through these filters and these theorems, he found out that for this to happen, it had to be beyond chance, you know.
Yeah, and basically he started combining bringing the math into the biological processes, mm-hmm. and really said, you have to be an idiot to believe that this could happen. Evolution as the accepted, you know, the synthesis as the accepted theory of where we came from, the neo-Darwinian synthesis, through mutations over long periods of time. I'm sorry, the math doesn't work. And then other people picked up on his. You have
Michael Behe,
Lehigh professor of biochemistry and microbiology.
Spoke to him.
I spoke to him on the phone, mm-hmm. I talked to him about it and asked, mm-hmm. you know, because he kept talking about design, irreducible complexity is his great contribution. His book became probably, as much as you had William Johnson's Darwin on Trial was the first lightning rod in the early 90s, mm-hmm. or late 80s, early 90s, then you come up with Michael Behe's book, Darwin's Black Box. And that's probably mm-hmm. the biggest lightning rod has shaken the scientific community, where they now have to start paying attention because they're getting...
They don't have good arguments to what his points are.
And instead mm-hmm. of criticizing him, they call him closet creationists. And that's why I made my phone call to him. I was writing my dissertation and I worked mm-hmm. I talked to him on the phone and just said, you know, by the way, you never label a designer. Would you tell me, do you believe in a designer or mm-hmm. do you have a particular religious bias? I just mm-hmm. want to know. Mm-hmm. And he goes, yes, he says, I am a Roman Catholic. He does mm-hmm. believe in long age because mm-hmm. his church teaches it and believes mm-hmm. it. He mm-hmm. just does not believe that evolution can explain the complexity we have in our world today.
Materialistic
evolution. Mm-hmm. And so that's where he comes from, but he again is now one of the leading proponents out there of what we would call the intelligent design movement. Mm-hmm. So you can see it going mm-hmm. from the argumentative level of mm-hmm. logic through the complexity, getting into irreducible complexity.
Well, and here, an intelligent design movement is, again, made up mostly of people who do have a tendency to believe in God, maybe even a Christian God, but certainly a God, but not necessarily being wed to the Genesis account of creation, the short age creation story. Nevertheless, these people have been trying to, and have to some extent had some success in being able to promote alternate approaches to origins, beyond just purely materialistic Darwinism.
Their work is creating the stink in all the courtrooms.
Yes, and that's what you're hearing about, and they're trying to get these other options placed into public school books.
Yeah.
And it's not that easy.
Yeah, Jonathan Wells was the one who challenged the good science, which is actually bad science. It's found mm-hmm. in most common biology textbooks. Mm-hmm. And so their arguments are the ones that are being brought to the courts of law saying good science says this, but... Mm-hmm. Judges today are still ruling that no, it's not science, it's still religion, mm-hmm. and on that basis are ruling it out. We have a torpedo text that we like to throw in at this juncture.
Some people might wonder about the appropriateness of this. This is Daniel 12:4. And it says, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book of Daniel until the time of the end. And here's this reference. Many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall increase. Maybe even knowledge, shall we say? Maybe even knowledge about creation and evolution and who the great creator God, and that this God is in charge of the past and is in charge of the future.
And if you want to, you can be in charge of your life today. And that's what
Amen.
Our eventual goal is here on
Sink the Beagle.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time to another episode of Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.